This evening, we're looking at our one-word study, and recently, our words have all emphasized things that tell about relationships. And our one-word study this evening highlights men who serve the flock through building relationships that are necessary for them to lead the flock as God desires. However, it's not the only use of the word in Holy Writ. When we read the word elder in the Bible, we must determine how the word is being used based upon its context. In the Old Testament, the word may refer to or mean simply to be old. But it may, at times in the Old Testament, also refer to older men or those ruling body of older men who sat at the city gates and handled inquiries. The term is found also in the New Testament to represent older men or women, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Members of the Jewish Sanhedrin, Acts chapter 24 and verse 1, and those who oversee or shepherd individual congregations of the church, as in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23 and Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. It's in this latter context that we are focusing upon the word this evening of elders. Thinking of those who are overseers, who shepherd the individual congregations of the Lord's body. It's important that we note at the outset that in the New Testament, use of the word elder, referring to that office of a leader within the church, the term is always plural, and there is no evidence, either biblically or historically, that women served as elders in the church. In fact, Timothy was told that if a man aspires, that is, desires, to the office of overseer, it is a fine work that he desires to do. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, which also gives us the context to first begin our study by considering the work, or rather the office, of elders. The office of elders, the responsibilities of these men within the church is so valuable and so counted that they are found in the New Testament to be called elders, yet they are further described as bishops or overseers, as pastors, as presbyters, as rulers, and shepherds. Paul used three of these terms in a relatively short passage recorded in Acts chapter 20. There, Paul wanted to go to Jerusalem to spend Pentecost, and he was in somewhat of a hurry to make it there in time. And the ship that he was sailing on was making its way along the coast to take port finally at Miletus. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, it says that from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders, the presbyteros of the church. That word elders is a word that means one who is older in the faith. We might think of one in terms of not only being older, but more mature in the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6 informs us that those who take up the office of elder is not to be one who is a new convert for this reason. But when the elders of the church came from Ephesus to meet Paul, he delivered unto them his farewell address. And as a part of that farewell address, Paul said, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers." Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. That term overseers is a translation of the Greek word episkopos, meaning that the elders were to oversee all of the work of the congregation for which they work. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2 further speaks of the elders exercising oversight toward believers. But Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 continues, "Be on guard for yourselves, for all the flock among which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. To shepherd is the word that comes to us from the Greek word poimen. And it points to a threefold responsibility of an elder in terms of a flock. Each elder, as a shepherd, is to lead the flock, providing leadership in all aspects of the church work as they demonstrate faith and direction and an example. They are to feed the flock, thus they are responsible for all of the teaching that occurs in the classes and in the pulpit as well. But men in this office of elder are also charged with protecting the flock by knowing the truth and using sound doctrine to exhort and to convict those who contradict truth. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. So in consideration of elders as shepherds, they as well as the sheep ought to consider that if a shepherd leads, then he has the authority to lead or exercise judgment. He gets to call some of the shots. He gets to call where the sheep go. So they get the opportunity, they have the authority because of their position given to them by God. And if the shepherd watches and protects, then he thereby has the authority to do whatever is necessary to protect the flock from harm. He may need to lead them away from harm. He may need to stand his ground and protect them. He has the authority to do whatever is necessary to protect. And if the shepherd feeds, then he must know what to feed the sheep, how to feed the sheep, and when to feed the sheep, among other things. Thus, elders, as overseers, as shepherds, these poimen, are to recognize what the sheep need to hear, how often they need to hear it, and to what time or at what extent they should hear it. Elders must protect their sheep from error, whether that error is coming from within or without the church. And they are to do so by wearing many different hats, so to speak. The responsibilities of elders are varying. Several responsibilities are given or listed for elders in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock." Here we find that elders are to rule over the congregation as a shepherd tends to the flock of sheep. As they tend to their needs, elders are to rule over the congregation, meeting their needs. They are to exercise also the oversight, that is, to take care of by watching over, by directing, by caring for, and by being accountable for the assembly of believers. These elders are further told and instructed to be examples to the flock. They're to be examples to them and also be examples for them. In all of these responsibilities listed in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, elders are to admonish, They are to encourage the flock. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 is a passage we'll look at several times tonight because of the importance of it, but also because of the various things that come up in it. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, there is laid out two more responsibilities of elders to the sheep. There the Hebrew writer said, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." Elders are to rule over the local church. And in ruling over them, they have a task, they have a responsibility of caring for and providing for the church as one who watches out for their souls. Elders are thus charged to watch. They're to watch out for the souls of every member. This includes hearing the Word of God, but also warning those who are found to be in sin. If we look at Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 16 through 21, it sets forth the duties and responsibilities of a watchman that quite well apply to those of elders. Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, "At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, "You will surely die," and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way that he may live, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness or from the wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he will die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in your sins, or he shall die in his sins. And his righteous deeds which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning, and you have delivered yourself." In this, we see that elders have responsibilities placed upon them by God, which no one else wants, or should I say that no one else desires. That makes the office a difficult position. And so many do not desire or aspire to be elders because it is a difficult position. You have a grave responsibility to warn those who are in sin and see to it that they turn away from it. Else it will be accounted against you. Godly men who serve the church in this capacity work very hard. They pray hard. They put their heart and soul into everything that they do for each member of the congregation. And then they pour out their heart and soul and tears before God on behalf of those who are many times unaware, unfaithful, ungrateful, and unresponsive to their pleas. But the work of elders, I said, could be considered as one who wears many hats. The work of elders is seen in the terms that are used in referring to them. When we think about an elder in the meaning of older, we should think of experience and wisdom that equips these men for counseling members of the congregation in various areas. The use of the term overseer brings to mind the idea of a mentor who gives valuable advice and guidance and insight. The occurrences of the word shepherd suggest that they equip men to know, they equip men to teach and to defend the faith. They equip men to protect the sheep from harm and to lead the church with both vision and faith. The work of elders is seen in the qualifications given for the position. The qualifications for elders are stated by Paul when he wrote to two ministers, Timothy and Titus. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. And if you consider these qualifications, they all speak to the domestic, social, and spiritual responsibilities of men who lead the church. The work of elders is seen in their leading by consent. Elders must understand that they are not lords to lord over the flock, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3, but are to provide leadership by example and by persuasion. Indeed, members of the body of Christ choose a certain congregation to place themselves under the leadership of the elders of that particular or certain congregation. And so it is a privilege to be an elder over a member of the body of Christ. The work of elders is also seen in their decision making. A part of the work of elders is the task of making many decisions. But to be successful in this, elders need to study the Scriptures and know them well. They need to pray. They need to seek advice from others when needed. They need to weigh out the alternatives. And they need to take as much time as is needed to make the right decision. For once they have made a decision, it is presented to the body for the body to follow. The work of elders is seen also in equipping the saints for service. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. All members of the body are important. Every one of them necessary, in fact. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 22 cannot make this point any clearer. But each person must be equipped to do his or her responsibility or part within the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. And it's given to the work of elders to equip and to see to it that members are equipped to do their part. And the work of elders is seen in conflict resolution. The divine plan for problem solving between people is given in Matthew chapter 18, specifically verses 15 through 18, but also in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. As instructed, conflicts that receive an ear from elders should be very serious in nature or soon forgotten. Because if they are not resolved, then those matters are to be taken before the whole congregation. And so it's important what elders give ear to hear, because conflict resolution is important to the body. How we handle conflict affects our individual relationship with God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. So when it comes to matters of faith, the Scriptures must be the end-all, tell-all. They end all conversation and they tell all what people are to do. In matters of opinion, judgment, and expediency, the elders have been endowed with the responsibility of the final decision, and also seeing to it that it is carried out. Where there are shepherds, though, there must be some sheep. And we as sheep under shepherds have a responsibility to those elders. We as sheep must know them, esteem them, and help them. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. It reads, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another." We must esteem them very highly in love because of their work, the work they have been called to fulfill. Those being led by elders are to remember them as well. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. They are to remember them. Remember their efforts. Remember them in prayer. Remember them for their good work and their deeds. But Hebrews 13 and verse 7 also instructs us as sheep following after shepherds to imitate their faith. When we see their faith, it ought to be a faith that is to be imitated by all the flock. In a passage that we've mentioned several times in varying emphasis, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, we are instructed to obey and submit to the rulers or the rule of elders. Of course, we would acknowledge that this is not to be done blindly. But if an elder is fulfilling his responsibilities, he's fulfilling his duty as best that he can in accordance with the will of God, then we are to obey their rule and submit to it. Christians also have a responsibility, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 19, not to receive an accusation against an elder except it be by two or three witnesses bringing it. So one should not jump so quick to accuse an elder, nor should they jump so soon to join those who have accused an elder of wrongdoing. But 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 20, the next verse, instructs members that in the case that an elder is participating in sin, it is the responsibility of the members of the body to reprove them of their sin. Sheep should be the biggest supporters of the work of the elders, honoring them for their hard work and their preaching. Listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. "The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching." The indication would be that there may be those elders who do not rule well. They simply rule, but do not rule well. But those who do rule well are to be considered not only of honor, but double honor. Do we honor the elders under which we have placed ourselves as sheep? The congregation should make good use of elders. It is a responsibility of ours, if any is sick, to call for the elders of the church, James 5 and verse 14. And we conclude the responsibilities of the sheep to the shepherds with this one from Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, that we are to make their task one of joy and not of grief. We have a responsibility, as much as lies within our control, to allow and to pursue a life that would give the elders a joy in serving as an elder. An eldership, as God designed and desires, involves a plurality of men who spiritually lead, feed, protect, guide, guard, and watch over a congregation. Elders have responsibilities to the church, and the church has responsibilities to the elders. Church government is of utmost importance because, as it has been said, a church will not rise above its leaders. If there's anything that I believe our elders would want this evening, it would be that they would want to see the church grow numerically. So they would plead with men and women who believe to believe in Jesus, John 8, verse 24, to turn from their sins in repentance, Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, and to confess Jesus as the Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and to give their life to Christ by being baptized, Acts 2 and verse 38. But elders also want to see the church grow in maturity, and so they plead with the unfaithful to humble themselves before God, James chapter 4 and verse 10, and then to repent, Acts 17 and verse 30, confess their faults, 1 John 1 verse 9, and to pray for forgiveness, Acts 8 and verse 22. The promise is given to these godly, faithful men who choose to serve the church. The promise is made to them in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4 that when the chief shepherd appears, they will receive the unfading crown of glory. What a work it is for elders. And what a promise it is of the reward they will receive for their faithfulness to the Lord and His body. Each one of us, though, can also receive a crown. Revelation 2 and verse 10, we can receive the crown of life if we are faithful when the time comes for all to be judged. So we need to consider elders. We need to consider our relationship to them and see that it be a relationship of which we are providing them with an opportunity to serve with joy. But to be obedient to the will of God, we must follow the greatest desire of elders, to have every soul to be saved. And in order for you to do that, you must become a child of God. But if you're already a child of God and you have become unfaithful, you can be restored. And to that, not only will all of heaven rejoice, but the elders, your overseers, will also rejoice. If there's a need of anyone this evening in coming to Christ to be baptized, or coming to Christ to seek forgiveness for things that are amiss in their life, you've been afforded the opportunity as together we stand and as we sing.